This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton and adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
This is Eno Benjamin, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Roster Watch Roto Underworld co-sponsored content here from day two at the NFL Combine. He's the Trash Man. He's Cody Carpentier. My name is Alex Dunlap. We have a bunch of stuff to get to today because what happened today was early in the day when Trash Man refused to wake up.
Nothing happened.
Nothing happened for Trash Man.
Except for us finding out that Sky Moore is a dude.
he's a dude.
Okay, so
and every player compared themselves to the best player at the tight at the position available.
Sky Moore though, very very cool about stopping, posing for a photo,
and then getting left hanging to dry.
He did not get left hanging. Cody Carpentier made sure that I did not leave Sky Moore hanging. So what we're going to do is we're going to go over just our thoughts from just the immediate availabilities from some of these wide receivers and tight ends and quarterbacks that we had today. We'll have running backs tomorrow. I also have prize picks pulled up where I feel like I kind of want to talk about some of these 40-time over-unders with you guys. I put in some prize picks stuff here, which was really amazing that my VPN would allow me to do it from Indiana, but
well, that's why it's a VPN.
Yeah, but anyway, so let's do that. Let's talk about some of the prospects first. Then we'll get into, like we did yesterday, where we talked about some of the stuff that we learned from the head coaching and from the GM availabilities.
And we're going to talk about some Darrington Evans tape.
Yeah. Well, all right. So
it's going to last longer than the real answer.
Okay. So Treylon Burks, Arkansas wide receiver. We're going to get to see tomorrow what this guy weighs in at. He said he wanted to weigh in at somewhere between 225 and 228.
Playing weight. So I don't know what that means for tomorrow.
So that'll be an interesting. That's a good point. So is his playing weight different than what he weighs in at tomorrow? Oftentimes we see these guys maybe come in a little bit light because they're looking to run fast. And let me also say, Cody, I don't know what Pete Bomarito's doing with these dudes in the hallways of the convention center, but they're running around on the carpet in the hallways. I am holding my breath and I'm saying, Jesus, man, I really hope that there's not some weird deal on the carpet where one of these guys ends up, you know, busting their ankle or doing something.
They spent the last 3-4 years banging into each other,
right? They have
you see all these non-contacts, anyways, right. And then like you see these guys now, they're sprinting in this hallway, and then you see clips of Malik Willis and Kenny Pickett in the hallway, you know, taking 7-step drops and throwing. It's like, can we get these guys just send them across the street? Just go across the street and
do it on the stage.
There's probably some sort of insurance.
But Think about that.
Well, insurance. Yeah. I mean, dude, how many of these guys grow up dreaming about getting their big insurance check because they're ACL.
I'm just saying, there's maybe some insurance clause with the convention.
So okay. Think how bad the NFL would look though if you say like, oh, you know, Malik Willis tears his ACL in the hallway.
The NFL wouldn't look bad. Their idiot trainers would look bad. Let's talk about Treylon Burks. He's going to be doing all of his testing. Tomorrow we'll get all the weigh-in numbers. We'll get everything else. The way that they're doing it this year is just wild because it used to be, they would weigh in and they would do their media availabilities and then they would bench press on the same day. Then the next day we would have the quarterback wide receiver throwing sessions. These guys now on Thursday are going to have to, they're going to have to go do their weigh-ins. They're going to have to bench. And they're going to have to do the on-field stuff. Clearly, I mean, do quarterbacks even bench? But I would imagine it's like those guys
even work out.
It would be idiotic to do a bench press before your throwing session, wouldn't it?
That's a full day's workout. Like,
yeah. So we'll get the official measurements.
That makes sense to me, though. I mean, like,
I've done powerlifting events. Powerlifting events start. We weigh in at 8 o'clock in the morning, and you do all these three lifts. You get done at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And that's kind of like the similar scale we're looking at here. Is they're going to measure and do all that stuff in the morning, then you're going to go bench, and then these guys, like we looked at the schedule, they're not going to be at the turf until 11 p.m. tomorrow. So it's like you're talking about
some of them won't. If their last name it goes through like M through Z.
It's going to be a long, long day, and that's just like not optimal.
And that's a good reminder that we probably won't be able to do another one of these streams tomorrow night because hopefully we'll be inside Lucas Oil, watching for – our subscribers at Roster Watch, the subscribers at Player Profiler, every rep from one of these quarterbacks and these wide receivers. We're going to be in definitely with the first group. We're hoping to get in with the second group. But regardless, it's going to be a primetime affair, and so we won't have time to do this at night. But anyway, back to Treylon Burks. Any thoughts about him? Like, I mean, he's talking like he's going to run super fast. I don't know what the over-under is over on Prize Picks. He was not one of the ones that I identified when I first went through with my initial runs. It looks like they have him at a 4.40.
4.40, yeah. And I mean, again, what's he going to come at? Is he going to come in at 220 pounds? That's like, if he comes in light like that, like, it wouldn't surprise me if he clicked, because that's been the rumor. The rumor has been like that 4.39, that 4.40 area. So it's kind of ridiculous, but. God, man, that's going to be something to watch.
The other interesting thing about Treylon Burks, people asked him about the fact, he's like, man, you played 75% of your snaps out of the slot in college or in this last year. And to me, I can't believe it was somebody. It feels like he probably lined up 20% of the time out of the backfield. Like Treylon Burks lined up all over the place. I don't have any worries about it. Treylon Burks says he thinks it's harder to play from the slot than it is to play outside. Yeah. He says these dudes at the line of scrimmage, like it's a lot easier to get off a dude at the line of scrimmage than it is to get past a linebacker or a nickel corner and then deal with the safety that they would have over the top for him there. So he said he's going to be fine wherever he plays. I think Treylon Burks, when I looked at his body type, Byron texted me. He said, is Treylon Burks a DK Metcalf? And I said, I'm not sure anybody's a DK Metcalf. But, I mean – My original comp for him was an AJ Brown, and I feel like that's kind of become sort of popular because people asked him how he felt about that comp, and he said that he liked it. Versatile guy that played a lot out of the slot in college. People wondered if he could play outside. He does not seem like he's worried about it at all. I think Treylon Burks, dude, he came in that dude. He was
talking about Debo Samuel. He's like, that's the guy.
He's,
I was like, what?
NFL teams are – it's clear that NFL teams are talking to him as a utility player that can do all kinds of stuff, like some sort of freaky Debo Samuel meets, the Cordarrelle Patterson role of this year. Like, I'm not sure he'd be getting carries out of the backfield like Cordarrelle.
How about Andre Johnson? We got a 6'2", 225 pounds. He gets that early first-round draft capital, 4.4. And if he runs that 4.40, which is what PrizePicks has him comped at, you're talking Andre Johnson territory at 6'2", 225.
I don't think there's much value in that 4.4 over at PrizePicks personally. Okay, what about – there are other ones that are much better.
No, from a value standpoint.
Yeah.
We think that's a close
– I think that's cool. I might pick the over.
Yeah, it's close.
All right, what about George Pickens? The one thing I noticed about Pickens, man, that dude's all business. he was still like, he's all business. He's a super serious cat, man. Like, he's not here joking around. He's not here messing around. He says that he wants to run a 4.3 or a 4.4, which is so funny. It's like, there's worlds of difference between a 4.3 and a 4.4. But that was one I did notice on Prize Picks, 4.55 over under. That was one that was the first one that I said, well, if this dude's talking about a 4.3, 4.4, it's a 4.55 over under. Really interested in that. But clearly he was hurt for a whole lot of this year. He talked some about that. He also talked about the fact that he had signed it. He signed some kind of
he signed a deal
with Tom Brady
with TV12. He signed a sponsorship deal with TV12, so he'll be one of their athletes. And he made an emphasis on, you know, Tom Brady's retired and I'm coming in. It kind of feels like a right fit. Not like a passing of the torch. That's kind of what he was
grand from Brady to George Pickens.
It's kind of like what he was angling at. That wasn't like, okay, Brady's out, I'm in, like, I'm the next. But it was more so like the fit just made sense from a, you know, I'm trying to keep that.
Well, no, I think what he was saying was, he says, look, I like this a lot because Brady's going to be retiring. And now they're saying they're leaving the light on for Brady, and Brady's acting like he's still, you know, but what I think what Pickens was saying was, he was saying that he felt like it was cool because, like, now Brady's retired and he's spending a whole lot more time on his, marketing companies and stuff like that. And so it'll get him more attention. Of course, George Pickens missed much of the 2021 season, but from the 2020 season, we saw that he had, you know, 20% market share at least across everything, and a 32% market share of his team receiving touchdowns in 2020 there for Georgia. And Pickens, he's big. He's big through his shoulders, big through his chest, big through his arms, like some kind of Dez Bryant or something like that. Like, I originally kind of comped him to maybe a Mike Williams or a Corey Davis, but when I saw him, I kept thinking kind of he looked kind of Dez-like.
Yeah. So when I asked him, I said, you know, who you model your game after? Who do you watch the most? What kind of, like, fits in that role? He said Devontae Adams, and then he said, I'm bigger than Devontae Adams, and he was dead serious about it. And then I said, with that, you know, what translates to the NFL best? And he's like, my ball skills. I'm best around the ball and downfield, and then causing penalties against defensive backs. I mean, that's after the 4-3 thing, where
it's a contested catches too.
Contested catches, yeah. That's with the ball skills. But, like, and then the 4-3 thing, which I didn't want to really jump over, but when he said that, he's like, you know, when I say 4-3, 4-4, that's what I mean. And when I say that, people say, whoa, but I know I'm that fast. But that's like, and you said all business. He was strictly all business. It was like, I'm running 4-3, 4-4.
Yeah,
I'm there. Like,
he wasn't having much fun. Yeah. Some of these guys were having some fun talking with the media. I would say, let's talk about Chris Olave, Ohio State. He wasn't a guy having much fun either. He was all business himself. He's a low key kind of dude.
Yep.
And it's kind of funny because, you know, we've talked about the dichotomy of Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson at Ohio State, sort of the difference between the two players. Olave seemingly a little bit more, you know, just maybe just not viewed as being as dynamic, maybe a little bit more workmanlike.
He's the Alvin Harper to Michael Irvin.
But here's the Cody always says it's a Jarvis and an Odell Beckham, and I don't agree because Jarvis was not the athlete that Olave is. And I know that I went on Matt's podcast, I went on the Mind Dimension podcast over at Roto Wonder World Radio with you after the Senior Bowl. We're talking about Garrett Wilson, and I had said, you know, I had had much more exposure to Garrett Wilson because he's a Lake Travis High School guy. That's, you know, that's where I live, on Lake Travis.
Maybe it's the Greg Jennings to the Devontae Adams.
Doesn't Greg Jennings hate Devontae Adams? I thought that Garrett Wilson was just such a virtuoso, such a go up and get it kind of guy, such a, you know, one handed grab, sticky hands kind of guy. But the more and more I don't want to go back on my take from that show, but the more and more I watch Olave, man, I think Olave is kind of a freak too. And I think
on his feet displayed circus catch ability,
dude,
all over the place. The thing is, he's more multifaceted than Wilson. I think he can do everything Wilson can do,
I think he can do more than
his craft is more of a
chain mover.
His craft is more.
He's the all time leading touchdown scorer in all of Ohio State history as far as wide receivers. I mean, he's just like Trashman says, he's a quarterback's best friend. But you take all that stuff, and when you think about that kind of stuff, you think about how workmanlike he is and how this dude can move the chains and what a good route runner is, you forget the fact, like, you look, Price Picks should be paying us for this show, by the way. They're not. This isn't any sort of, you know, ad for them. But, I mean, they had the over-under on his 40 time at 4.42. He's fast. And we were talking with an NFL scout when we got in here on Monday night, Cody.
Yeah.
Saying that, you know, you guys are going to be surprised by how fast Chris Olave runs.
Yeah.
Just like, so he runs this fast. He looks dynamic. He's so good with his separation. He's a stop-start, you know, freak, cut-on-a-dime dude, a quarterback's best friend, sticky hands, workmanlike, but has that, like, so with Olave, I like the way he came in. He was business-like. I feel like he had a good day up at the podium. I thought Garrett Wilson had a good day at the podium too.
Yeah, I didn't see Garrett Wilson before he jumped to him. Though, I just wanted to say a couple of things that Olave did say was when he was pressed, you know, are you the best route runner in this class? He said, I feel like I'm a great route runner, but that's up for you guys to debate. He was kind of like pushing, like, that's a media thing. I don't really care about that. And then it basically said, you know, what do you need to do this week at the combine? He said, I don't need to prove anything. I just need to go up there and be me. So he seems like he's pretty dialed in. He's pretty confident in his process, and he doesn't really let the outside noise kind of come in.
I truly wanted to ask both Olave and Garrett Wilson who was the better wide receiver between the two of them. Whenever both of them were such nice young men that, like, I didn't want to, you know, if you
softened in your old age.
Yeah, I mean, like, if they would have been jerks or something like that, I would have asked the question. But these aren't like GMs where we're going to give them the hard ball, man. Like,
what do you have that the other one does not?
You just don't want to.
They were just too nice.
You just want your friend off frame, man. These are good. Like, these are good young men. Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave, they're going to be thank golly, what a job Brian Hartline has done at Ohio State with these guys. You got my guy, Jackson Smith, and Ben
Jigba.
And Jigba coming up right after these dudes. And you can see why Garrett Wilson would leave the state of Texas to go to a place like Ohio State.
We got a comment in the chat. I got to say, it's kind of funny. Y'all should make a bet on Prize Picks and the loser takes off his hat. Because we all got hats.
No, we got hats.
Anyway,
and Alex has this weird hunting hat.
Yeah. Well, it's my all the time hat.
I don't think I've ever seen Alex's hair.
You guys saw my hair last night. I just have a hat on. All right, so let's go to the next one. You said David Bell. I didn't spend too much time over David Bell from Purdue's table for his podium. I did notice, though, I mean, I feel like he looked like he was probably all of 6'2", 205 as he's listed. I also noticed that whenever, you know, I always think it's so funny that, you know, he loves to continue to comp himself to Allen Robinson, even after Allen Robinson.
Yeah, he loves that.
Even after Allen Robinson hasn't been that good lately, man. David Bell loves him from Allen Robinson.
And he was in it. He did a interview a couple weeks ago on the I Am Athlete pod where he talked about that Allen Robinson thing and how he actually didn't say that, you know, I want to be an X receiver as much as I want to be a Z, and just that style. And then today he was talking about how he continues to work down there. And his biggest thing that, you know, I guess people told him was, you know, you're not good yards at the catch. And they asked, how are you going to get better at that? And he said, that's one of the biggest focuses, just every day in practice. And the best way to do it is every day in practice, rep after rep after rep, is as soon as you catch the ball, make the move. And that was like the one big takeaway I took from him, just like, He was serious too. He was a very good. He was one of the first guys up on the podium. But
yeah,
big guy, and I think Allen Robinson might be a solid comp.
I kind of think he reminded me of Rashad Bateman when I watched him. Look, he's only going to be 21 in his rookie year.
Rashad Bateman's not that much different than Allen Robinson in the sense that when Allen Robinson was coming out, he was a guy that could do everything. That was a chain mover.
David Bell plays absolutely fearlessly. That's like it's not what he does after the catch. It's what he does before the catch. It's what he does to sell his routes. He's very, very, very crafty. You know, as far as a route runner, he's slinky, he's silky, he's
He's very good. I was just wondering if he was going to be as big as advertised. I feel like he is. And to me, that bodes well for his ability to, you know, continue to improve at the NFL level. And we're seeing these mocks come out where, like, what, Bell and Bucky Brooks' latest mock went, like, forgot where he went. He went somewhere in the first round, maybe 32. Yeah.
He's been all over in that, you know, the entirety of the second round, and then ended up looking at the first.
Did you, I'm looking at some of this stuff, and I'm just seeing Jalen. I haven't seen Jalen Tolbert.
Tolbert was in the corner.
Okay.
They jammed him in the corner, and I walked over there, and there was like a handful of guys over there, but he just kind of was like, it was really surprising. He was in the corner, A, it was a small school, and B, he really wasn't getting talked too much. He just kind of sat over there, and again, like I told you, I think you're talking to Garrett Wilson at the time, and I walked over there, and I was just like, this guy, he's just a brick shithouse for being 6'2", you know, 195, 200 pounds. He's going to be a guy, and I just did.
What about Drake London? You go over there and you see him, and he talk. You know, you ask him what his best route is, and he says any route's my best route. He's a very confident young man. I'm not sure how fast. I'm still working on my final evaluation on him. I'm not sure how fast he's going to be, and we're not going to find it out here. Did he say he's not going to go?
Yeah, the way he worded it was, I'm 15% away from being 100%, and that he plans to run his pro day. But
so he's 85%.
That's what I'm saying. It's the weirdest thing ever. Okay, but yeah, but think about that though. Like, so maybe at one point he could have ran a 4.45, and he's hurt, and now he's at 85%. So even if he gets back to 100%, guess who never got that full, 8 weeks of 40-yard dash training. He's going to go out there. So it would not surprise me if he runs something that's very disappointing as pro day if he runs. So
did you really think when you saw him today that he's truly 6'5"?
Oh, yeah. He's all of 6'4", 6'5". But
I think he's quite close.
He just looks slender. Right. I thought he looked slender. But
yeah.
He wasn't thick like Burks or like Colbert. You know?
Yeah. Whenever I saw him, I was maybe expecting to see him in person. Not that I thought he looked slight. But I just didn't think he looked like just the biggest, the biggest beast that I'd ever seen. And we've heard all this talk about wide receiver one for Drake London and some of that stuff. I'm still finishing the evaluation.
He's not overpowering.
Well, he doesn't have a wide shoulder, though.
That's what it is.
He's not a wide. Well, I mean, and that's the thing. You don't. I mean, to be honest, like probably a wide. I'm not sure how good a wide shoulder build is for you as long as your wingspan is.
Yeah.
As long as your wingspan is long, because you can go up and get it better without, without the hindrance of your shoulders coming out this far, as far as the distance from your neck. But look, man, I thought that he was a good interview. We'll kind of see how things go tomorrow. Did he say whether he would be doing on-field drills? Is it no on-field drills? It's no nothing?
He's not. I don't think he's going to do anything.
Okay, so it's no nothing from him. I did not really get to see much of Christian Watson.
I didn't see him at all.
I saw he was over at the far back podium. Wandale Robinson, that was one of the first dudes out from Kentucky, and he's the guy that Trash Man said. He's like, Trash Man did that evaluation. He's like, I don't know if this guy's a running back or a wide receiver or what.
Is he tall? They said listed at 5'7". Is he 5'7"?
5'7".
I would think that seems short. And when I saw him today walking up, he didn't feel like.
No.
I would think he's probably if he's listed at 5'7", that's definitely his true size. But he's certainly not being over.
Yeah, he's really being listed at 5'7".
Listed at 5'7", and when they had a picture of him next to Rondale last year, they were. Nearly.
He looked like being Calvin. Let's just think about it. Calvin Austin at the Senior Bowl was 5'7" and 3'8".
Yeah.
Wandale Robinson is as tall as Calvin Austin.
We have like 5'11" on here, 5'10", 5'11".
Was that his unofficial listing?
That was his unofficial listing. I mean, and I didn't disagree with it.
He's not 5'11".
But he's a big guy. He's stocky. Built.
Wandale.
Yeah, like I said, I thought he was a running back. Because I was watching the tape, I like to go back and see. Is this a
here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. If you
had so many passes out of the backfield.
If you thought he was stocky and built. If he was 5'11" and he really does weigh 180, 185, that's not really that stocky or that built. 180, 185, and more like 5'9" or 5'8", that's kind of stocky and built. So
I think that's probably where we'll land. I mean, with one, dude, all this tomorrow won't even matter. So let's not talk about us projecting Wandale's height and weight. I know that whenever, you know, whenever he was talking, he was saying, all these guys, man, they talk about Davante Adams and these dudes who are sort of the Wandale types, the Treylon Burks types, these types of guys that all they want to talk about is Deebo Samuel. Deebo has become like a prototype dude that players model themselves after, and I just love it.
Well, if there's somebody who reminded me of Deebo Samuel, I guess, in some sense, just the amount of action he got out of the backfield. It was Rondell Robinson.
He certainly models his game after him. Other than that,
like the same size, same body type would be Sky Moore, who we talked about. What was your takeaway from Sky Moore? I know Trashman wasn't awake for that, but
I love Sky Moore just as a dude. I mean, as far as whenever you watch his tape and you look at what he was able to do.
You love this tape?
Western. Yeah, I just thought, well, I mean, how could you, if you just watch
I watched his tape and I thought he looked like a jag to me on tape.
He looks like a jag that has 40% of his team's receptions, 39% of his team's
receptions. And I'm saying that maybe that's why. Maybe it mitigates it. The fact that, like, he got so much action. Yeah, you know. And he's got great hands. He's got maybe the best hands in this class. And I think that combination, you know, bodes well for someone like that. But a lot of the tape I watched was him catching the ball and falling down and getting tackled.
I think he might have missed some games. Like, I'm not sure. Like, his hands, PFF has him with 4 drops in 2021. So that's more than a lot of these guys. But, I mean, I do agree. Generally, he looks like he has really good hands. He's a tackle breaker. He's good in space. But certainly –
dropped only 7 balls on 177 catchable career targets.
Yeah, that's kind of good.
That's pretty good.
It's kind of good.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Think
about
seven balls, 176.
It's like a 3%.
Okay, fine. So it's probably I think I might have watched some of the ones where he had a few drops.
But I like Sky Moore more than you.
What are we talking about?
I'll tell you what. Maybe you like Sky Moore.
I'm just saying from the tape, I just like – It didn't line up to me.
He's the offense.
I understand that. I didn't see a special player on tape.
Okay. Well, he's
he didn't pop off the screen.
I thought the film was requisite. Obviously, we talked about the numbers already, 40%. When I saw him, it was just one of those guys that you walked up on, and he was in the side tables as well. And he's a guy that just literally had like 3 people around him. And the energy was just like different when you were like, okay, what's up, Sky? And he was just boom, right there talking,
yeah, man.
Positive. He was not sleepy. Like, there's some guys show up, they were just like,
he loves talking football.
He loves talking football. And my favorite thing was, you know, on your mentality. And this is some of my favorite questions, kind of, you know, how I judge these guys is. And he's like, what's your mentality when you get the ball in your hands? And he goes, well, I want to score and I don't want you to touch me. And it's like, I don't know. I really like the when they attack questions like that. It's like, well, you know, I like, you know.
How are you going to score without touching somebody?
Be great in this offense, and I want to help my quarterback. It's like, I want to get the ball, and I don't want you to touch me. I want to score.
The Alabama guys, Jameson Williams and John Metchie, it's hard to really know with them. They're not going to work out, of course. They're both coming off of injuries. John Metchie, he's expected to be medically cleared by June. I'm not sure exactly when Jameson Williams is. His injury occurred, you know, very, very early
He had surgery 6 weeks
ago. Yeah, in the college football playoff. And so,
but the positive on him, before you move on past him, is he said that he was walking from no brace.
I watched his ass walk up. Like, perfect. Everything was fine.
Perfect. And then he said
there's no brace.
He's been doing running motion in pool. So, mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, 6 weeks is – I had a couple of – the fantasy doctor guys on Twitter reply, and they're like, holy shit, like, that's impressive.
He looks so fine. There's no brace.
And they said, how would you feel like right now moving to like training camp? You think you'd be ready for training camp? He's like, I'm not going to force anything, but obviously that's my goal. So I think his head's in the right place.
Yeah, I mean, it is too. These other guys, I mean, we've talked a ton about the Senior Bowl dudes, the Calvin Austins, I mean, what we see. We almost got no dubs today. Yeah, but Romeo Dubs ended up coming out.
That was my favorite.
I don't know, man. You got anything on the rest of these? Braylon Sanders. Danny Gray.
Danny,
we talked about him before, man. He did say that he was hoping to run a low 4.3s 40. Cody and I, we talked about that on the stream last night. Cody and I got in on it. Danny Gray, fastest
overall and fastest receiver.
Fastest wide receiver just before that thing just plummeted. So we'll definitely be big Danny Gray fans tomorrow as far as his 40, but I'm sure it'll be somewhere in the 4.3s, based on just everything we've heard from different scouts and everything else. What was your deal with Danny Gray before he got a little bit banged up at the Senior Bowl? Did you like what you had seen?
I liked him more than I liked Reggie Roberson. And then obviously Reggie Roberson doesn't show up. I know, Trashman, you like Danny, right? You like Danny Gray as well. I just thought he separated better downfield. I mean, he prototypes as that downfield threat. So, 4.3 speed, man. Can't teach it. I can't remember who said it today, but somebody said Jamison Williams may be the guy. He said, you can't teach my speed or something like that. So, it's different.
Let's see. So, Jahan Dawson, we didn't mention him. I didn't really get to see much of him.
He was dialed in
at the podium. I know I got so tilted whenever people kept asking about, you know, have you been – it was so many reporters going up and asking, have you talked to the Steelers? Have you talked to the Bengals? Have you talked to the Cowboys? Have you talked to, you know – What do you think about Coach Mike Tomlin? It's like, come on, dude. You can't just waste all of our time with some shitty blog post you're going to write for your Steelers fan blog about what this dude says about the Steelers. We met with him for 30 minutes, you know, one time over Zoom.
To any reporter out there, too, that hears this, I doubt any of them will because, you know, we're all stuck in these small worlds, but these players openly say that they have informal interviews with all 32 NFL teams. So on day one and two of the NFL Combine, you don't need to ask these guys who they talk to.
All right. So let's talk about just some of these. Let's talk about some of these wide receiver 40 time over unders here that they have on Prize Picks. And you guys tell me what you think goes over or under. I'm gonna say, then I'll go 1, 2, 3, and then you say over or under. Right? All right. So Jahan Dotson 4.39. 1, 2, 3,
under. Over.
I think he goes over. I think it's over. I'm not sure over? He's one of the 4.3s. Really? I think he's more cat quick than he is fast. It was kind of always watching Jahan Dotson. He was like a Deontay Johnson type of guy. Maybe not super, super, super fast, but definitely so quick that he makes you look like he's gliding fast. Garrett Wilson, a 4.44. 1, 2, 3.
Over.
Both of you guys say over. Yeah. Treylon Burks. A 4.4 flat at 200. We'll see how many.
Give us a body weight.
If he weighs 225 pounds, Treylon Burks at a 4.4 flat. 1, 2, 3.
Over.
I agree. We talked about Wandale. So Wandale at a 4.45. 1, 2, 3.
Over.
Under. I kind of think I'm with Trash Man. Really? I think he goes under. And then the one that we talked about earlier, the George pick is 4.455. I just think that's an automatic under. Yeah. I think the Chris Olave at 4.4. Here's this one. Chris Olave, 4.42. 1, 2, 3.
Boy, under.
I'm with Trash Man says over. Cody says under. I'm with Cody. I think he goes under.
He was asked in the hallway by Jordan Reed. Shout out, Captain Draft Network. He's asked him, are you going to run a 4.3? You got a little picture of him. Like, you're going to run a 4.3 in the 40? And he said, maybe. They're like, we're like, we'll see. And he like winked at him. And I was like, that's a confidence. But, like you talking about, Olave's got that, you know.
Yeah, people I didn't start winking at people until much later.
anything that you guys have on the prospects other than what we've sort of talked about so far that I didn't kind of near the strict boards. Otherwise, we can talk about some of the stuff we got.
I just don't see how Wandale Robinson is 5'7".
We're gonna see tomorrow. Trey McBride. Trey McBride is one that I caught for a little bit. Obviously, I didn't jump in the whole time because of the Senior Bowl. We loved him. But one of the things I did catch was he was talking about run blocking and how that came first for him. And he's always loved being physical in the run game and just like that being something that he really wanted
bring to the NFL and dominate.
And just people, whenever, you know, I came back saying from the Senior Bowl, saying that Trey McBride was the best Senior Bowl tight end that I remember seeing. He was better than Troutman, better than Dallas Goddard, who was only healthy for a day, but like better than O.J. Howard, who at the time was a big monster name. Evan Engram was there that year. And people said, well, why didn't you only catch one touchdown after he had all these yards and stuff? People asked me about these. Like, we were always in 13 and 14 personnel for Colorado State down at the goal line. You know, it's just like it is what it is. And he's like, I wouldn't take it back because I wanted to score the touchdown. Like, I wanted us to score the touchdowns. That's how we were built to do it. That's how we were going to do it. Clearly, he has every ability to be able to be a red zone threat at the NFL level. We started the Senior Bowl. He's going up against the best seniors in the country down there in the red zone. He's basically built for it. I can't believe that they didn't have something where it's like, well, if you're 13 personnel, why don't you slip this dude out? And just like, yeah. You know, it's like, it's so crazy. Ridiculous that, yeah. that you wouldn't. But anyway, all right. So let's move on to the portion here. Let's just hit up some of the availabilities. Let's maybe start out with the Titans. So we asked, I asked the Titans GM John Robinson today if the Titans are going to bring back Deontay Foreman. You know, mainly just for fantasy. It's like if Deontay Foreman's there and Derrick Henry's there and there's some sort of satellite back there. My worries were there could be something where they try and – I mean, Derrick Henry's going to be 28. My worries are
– he's 28 with the legs of a 23-year-old.
With the legs of – he's 28 with the legs of like some sort of creature that came from outer space.
Yeah,
but it's – look, my worries were just like maybe if he's healthy through the beginning part of the season, now that the season's 17 games long, the kind of deal where you can, you know – to where you can consider the idea that maybe if they're completely up and they're winning, you know, they don't have him icing off the game the way that you could put Deontay Foreman in there and let him do it. And so I always thought if Deontay comes back and he's just the backup and he's just the insurance, it was a good insurance plan for them this year that we won't just have Derrick Henry in some sort of satellite back, right? And we could legit maybe have another one in the mix. It doesn't sound like John Robinson was that interested in bringing him back.
Well, I think he's going to ask for too much money.
The minute that I brought up Deontay Foreman, all he wanted to talk about was Dontrell Hilliard. And so, to me, that kind of says, like, you got this redundant kind of Deontay Foreman deal with Derrick Henry. We don't know how it's going to go down. Maybe he's playing coy. But to me, it really felt like they want Derrick Henry. They want to do this kind of the other one. And then Darrington Evans, your question, it doesn't – Darrington Evans ain't going to be playing with those guys anymore. Trashman asked about him. He asked on Darrington Evans. John Robinson said he was hurt. He didn't play for us. So
and everyone went like
– and
it was like the whole
there
crowd.
There were some people around there that we sort of talked to off podium who said he's not gonna be back. And so, you know, if you want Darrington Evans in one of your dynasty leagues and somebody might not be on to this, definitely – sell him unless you think he might go somewhere else and be able to, you know, fit into the culture better. But clearly the culture there with the Tennessee Titans, they're not fans of Darrington Evans.
The joke I heard from a couple guys was like, yeah, just he's not going to be on the team. And somebody was like, yeah, just go out there and play video games. Because, like, I know he plays video games. Coach can shit. So
maybe he's just not dedicated.
He does not fit into a Mike Vrabel culture. Like, no. It's very clear. And John Robinson and Vrabel, they're kind of the same way. They're kind of prick. They're a little bit
– I love
a
prickly.
Bit, a little prickly. They're dudes. I mean, that's like they don't like Darrington Evans. I'm not sure if there's anything else that you had that, you know, you particularly asked about with those guys. I know that they kind of talked a lot about Julio. They had a bunch of the local media talked about Julio.
I wanted to ask Vrabel where he got his watch.
He probably would have complimented your sweaters. I guess pretty well.
Yeah, he would have caught some. Brable's not scared to go after me. It's kind of fun watching, but that's one thing. Reason I didn't really go after him.
Ravens. We got to talk to GM Eric DaCosta today. I asked him how J.K. Dobbins is looking and if he's kind of getting back up to speed. Just how's he moving? How's he running around? He really wouldn't answer any of these questions. What he did answer was he said, "Look, we're." Like last year, we lost J.K., we lost Gus Edwards, we lost Justice Hill. And those are three guys who we plan to have back and we're so excited to have back. You could really tell, like, he was beaming when he was saying about getting these three guys back. To me, it's like, to me, it's whenever he brings up all these guys and he talks about it like this, we're going to be back to the situation in 2022, like we were coming into 2021 before disaster struck in that backfield, where we're going to be talking about a committee. And it could be that people are overvaluing J.K. Dobbins due to the fact that Gus Edwards is still there. I mean, he says Gus Edwards is coming along.
I don't think so, just for the fact that they run the ball maybe more than any other team.
Well, they certainly do, and you're going to deal with committees everywhere. But with that being said, I'm not sure that some of the elite, you know, people drafted J.K. Dobbins in the same year that they drafted a whole lot of these other real good young runners. It's the Jonathan Taylor, DeAndre Swift year, like this big year.
But then again, whenever J.K. Dobbins was being drafted, he wasn't being drafted as that premier guy. He was drafted as a guy who would have a shot.
He was being drafted in a dynasty league at 1.04, wasn't he? I mean, is my memory completely shot?
No, that's what it's like. I was talking about, I guess, more in redraft leagues.
Right. For dynasty.
Dynasty spot, though, was we were looking at him as that guy that could be.
Yeah, that guy that could be. But he wasn't going to be given anything. You know, he worked his way into that role.
But I think when as prospects, it was like, it was, I think the hierarchy was like Taylor, and then it was the Swift and Dobbins thing. And we've seen what Swift and Taylor can do. And I just don't know if Dobbins is ever going to get that full opportunity that those guys have gotten.
Yeah. It's going to be a committee moving forward. I mean, even the fact that he was so pumped about Justice Hill, I was thinking maybe Justice Hill by now might be up for free agency. That I didn't even look and see what his status was. But like they're interested, but they're saying like all three of those guys are real, real key cogs. There's something to keep in mind as far as the volume there. I mean, it could be split up. I pressed. I said, all right, enough about Justice Hill. Jesus. How is J.K. Dobbins moving?
Yeah.
Like how's he? Like how does he actually look? He's like, I've seen his facility a few times. Funny story. He's actually my neighbor. My wife makes him cookies. All this shit like that. And then he moves on to the next. He never told me how he's moving.
Yeah,
you know. So
well, his wife is making him cookies. He might only not too lean.
Yeah.
Well, I also asked DaCosta a question more so about the NFL draft and kind of this class, and it kind of caught me off a little bit because I said, you know, what's your favorite position to kind of look at and scout in this class? And he jumped to offensive line, whereas a lot of these GMs have said edge and D line, and so he said he liked where the depth was at in the offensive line. He obviously alluded to the edge. And then one note that he did see, because I've seen in some mocks where the Ravens are getting, you know, Sauce Gardner, Derek Stingley. He mentioned that he thought you could draft a cornerback in any round of this draft that could contribute to your team. So I really thought that was interesting. For me, that tells me they're not going to take one in round one, and they're focusing more on the interior, which I think they should be.
No, that's interesting. Yeah. Golly, you just think about it.
You mean they're not going to draft another receiver?
You think about it from a logical standpoint. How depleted that. I'd have to go look and see who all is set to be free as far as I think it's a backfield. But I mean, they lost five of their first five guys up by the end of the season. They were all done. Jets GM Joe Douglas, I asked him about Michael Carter, what the year one evaluation was on Michael Carter, and what he thought the optimal number of touches for a guy like Michael Carter was after getting to see him for a year in that offense. I'll just read what he said. He said, young MC is what they call him. So I'm going to start calling Michael Carter young MC. I love that.
He said,
young MC is a dude. Unbelievable contact balance, elite feet, a weapon out of the backfield in the passing game, really good hands. In terms of optimal carries, touches, that's dictated on a game-by-game basis by our staff, but this offense has had a lot of success with a really strong rotation. But we do love Michael. So basically, I think that's like we love him, but we're still kind of need a committee.
Yeah.
But he's going to be the 1A. I think that's kind of the way I feel. Because you can tell when these teams, they talk about these guys that they love. I mean, he loves him from Young MC.
Exactly. Young MC. Like, this dude's got a nickname. This dude comes in. He said he elite contact balance. Think about that in comparison to where's Darrington Evans for this offense?
He didn't play for
it. Think about the hierarchy of that is like they're committed to him. Like, he's right. He's a dude. And you don't just get Young MC. Like, that's that particularly, I'm a big Michael Carter fan, but that was like,
very positive note to say they're not going to go draft Breece Hall. They're not going to go draft Isaiah Spiller. You know,
Joe Douglas was asked about Braxton Berrios, who apparently is going to be apparently is going to be commanding some kind of deal in the open market. And he said, look, you got to bring back guys who do everything the right way. And Braxton did everything the right way for us. It feels like they're going to be interested in Braxton Berrios. I couldn't believe that Cody was able to do it, but he actually got in a question about our boy Denzel Mims. What, like,
my boy. I fit it in, and, you know, I didn't really want to go back to the well, but I did. I said, you know, where does Denzel Mims fit in here? We got all these fresh faces, Berrios, Elijah Moore. I didn't really want to say Corey Davis come over here anymore. And I said, has the ship sailed? And he went back to the – no, I wouldn't say that. Obviously, he was injured all season last year, but –
No, he didn't say that. He said
he had sickness.
And was that still from that bad salmon?
The salmon was bad.
And why did he have multiple bouts with sickness over this?
He got a weak stomach, or he must be not eating gluten or something. But I don't know what. Hey, I don't know what it is. But anyways, he said that he was still committed to Denzel, and that he thought Denzel was, you know, making positive moves inside the facility. So,
I hope so. He was my favorite receiver in that class.
Yeah, he's a good one. He was certainly my favorite at that Senior Bowl. And that Senior Bowl had guys like Chase Claypool and Michael Pittman there. So, yeah, we call him Motel Mims, man, because he's like Motel Brady, where you
leave the damn light
on. Where you leave the light on. Okay, 49ers. So we had GM John Lynch today. I asked what the hell happened with Trey Sermon in 2021 and what the expectations were for Elijah Mitchell coming into this year. Basically, what speaking of nicknames, they have a nickname for Elijah Mitchell too. They call him Drano, which I'm not sure is I think I like Young MC better than Drano.
When you said it, I was like,
they call him Drano because they say he's like the drain clog, unclogger that you can put down into the drain that can find the little crevices and the crannies in there to be able to get through and clean everything up. They just say he's just so good through the line of scrimmage like that. So I guess that's kind of neat. He just said he showed a ton of toughness, you know, playing through these injuries that a lot of guys would have not wanted to play through. And he's had a really, really good year for him. And you saw towards the end of the year, as John Lynch said, how much playing time he got. As far as Trey, he just said Trey had to make an adjustment as far as how he runs the NFL. And he gave him a bunch of lip service because he picked him too early.
Yep.
And he said, look, we're still excited about him. But you saw Jeff Wilson came back. You saw that Elijah Mitchell started to run good. You saw that, you know, Debo, we got him so involved as far as, you know, and we like having Debo involved like that. You know, it's just like, it's kind of crowded. And to me, I'm saying, like, well, how can you be that excited about him when you're talking about the fact that he can't get involved in this platoon, even when Raheem Mostert was hurt right off the bat? So I think that's kind of some lip service. I'm not going to be buying too much into it. I'm not sure where I'm going to be able to get any kind of value next year as far as redraft from the 49ers, maybe unless you take Trey Lance late, because it just feels like with these running backs, Debo Samuel could always swim lead. But what if the whole Debo Samuel rushing – that rushing role was unsustainable from last year.
He said a few weeks ago that he wanted to be – I can't remember if it was 1,000 or something like that. That was like one of his goals. Like, he thought that was – Elijah Mitchell said that he could play running back. He said Debo can play running back. And then Debo was asked about it. He goes, you know, I could go for 1,000. And was like, that's crazy. But, like, if that's even in the thought and he brings that up to Shanahan and they're like, yeah, we're going to keep using you.
I think maybe you could put the
value. That's a value. But, again, if Lance is a quarterback, it's just like it's gonna be but a little then, weird.
I mean, you got Kittle, you got Debo, you got Ayuk, you got Trey Lance, who's looked like – I mean, it's like he's going to run the football, but, I mean – it's going to be a much lesser volume, I think, as far as total pass attempts. If that guy's in his first year. So.
I mean, but what did we – I mean, Ayuk was lauded on his ability after the catch.
I know, but how many of these guys that are lauded – I mean, that's how they built their team, with dudes who are dogs after catch. What Debo is. It's what Ayuk is.
I mean, so it's a guy who maybe doesn't need that, you know, really high volume.
Well, look, man, that's going to be an up-and-down player in fantasy football, as you know, Trash. You know, I'm not going to be too interested. All right, let's go on to the Panthers here. GM Scott Fitter, he talked about CMC's injuries. You know, just people were asking, is he injury prone? Clearly, CMC was a big topic of discussion. He says his injuries, if you look back at them and you really do look at them, they're fluky, right? It wasn't. He doesn't think that they have to do with the fact that he's just he has all this wear and tear on him and that he's just injury prone. He says that there are things that they can do to where they can help him get touches in different spots. One of the things he mentioned was getting touches, getting them in the slot, more, less wear and tear out of the slot than maybe out of the backfield. They're working with their staff there in Carolina about ways that they can help him during the week of practice to be able to rejuvenate his body. And he also said, this gives me credit, he's taking a lot of time and he's been communicating with the team about, I guess, like practices that he's been looking into about ways he can keep his body kind of ready to go. I think CMC's tired of the injury-prone label. Yeah. And so for me, it's like we see him in the
series. I'm tired of him not playing a full season.
Well, look, man, I'm tired of it too. But we saw in the SiriusXM on Sirius the other day whenever we were doing the Sirius show, and the hosts on the channel had CMC at pick 7 as the consensus. And I was like, 1.07. Like, look, I was like, this is idiotic. These people don't know what they're talking about. They're being way, way, way too overreactive. You look at an Underdog. He's still going at the 1.02. I think that that's probably
– I've seen him at 101 too.
Like, it's gonna be where CMC lands, and I really think that this – I mean, he's going to be 26 years old.
You're still going to get people that are going to press that button.
That's what I have. I know that you got to ask Fitter, though, about some of your most sweet angels at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, so I got to ask Fitter about Terrace Marshall and Shai Smith and where they fit in the offense. He mentioned Terrace Marshall had a fantastic camp and then it didn't hit in the season. But he said that he thought Terrace Marshall had worlds of talent, which to me felt weird because if he had a great camp and he didn't transit to the season, you kind of alluded to the quarterback situation. Is he maybe a guy that doesn't show up on the game? He doesn't show up on games, but he's a great practice player. And then Shai Smith was the other guy. And I was wondering, is he maybe going to get into that potential slot role, maybe behind DJ Moore? He said, we want him to be number 4, but we want him to mainly play more special teams. He needs to be a gunner. He needs to be a punt returner. We need to see more special teams there and then commit to being that wide receiver 4 right now.
Shai Smith only rosterable in 12-team dynasty leagues where you roster 25-plus.
You need injuries.
So we'll say that about them. I just – The Commanders, which I'm still not used to saying. I'm not sure I'm ever
going
to
be used to saying it.
Yeah. The Commanders, we had GM Martin Mayhew. Trashman, do you want to eat a little crow on all your Antonio Gibson?
There's no crow to be eaten. There's no crow to be eaten.
You don't believe that they believe in Antonio Gibson. And I feel like that answer that Mayhew gave you today was one of the most stand up with a backbone. And talk about your guy like he's your guy. Well, Antonio Gibson.
I think he's supposed to say that because
there is
a scuttlebutt that they do want to bring J.D. McKissick back, and they also want to add more depth to the backfield. In addition to that, he talked about Antonio Gibson's toughness.
No, we didn't just talk about it.
I think Antonio Gibson's a great player. I'm just curious about them wanting to add more help in that backfield.
Like, he waxed poetic about it.
J.D. McKissick.
He talked about this guy. How can this guy every week? He said, you get to Wednesday, you'll give him, you're like, how the hell is he going to go this week? And he's got this thing on his shin. He's got all this stuff. You go in the trainer's room and you look at it. You're like, there's no way he's going to go. He's like, what, did he miss one game? He's like, he goes for 1,000 yards. He's the toughest son of a bitch we've ever seen. You've seen what he's able to do. He helps us in so many ways.
Not cursed.
He gets, well.
I want to know this because I don't know. Where does Trashman have Antonio Gibson in dynasty?
Lower than player profiler.
Where does Trashman have him?
Well, it's
does he have him in the trash can?
He's not in the trash can. If you look, okay. Don't judge it by the number. You have to look at the guys that he's behind.
So let's just see. The Dynasty rankings, I'll pull them up. The Dynasty Top 250 at rosterwatch.com.
Where's he on yours?
The overall number or the overall guy or the running back number?
Do overall first.
So overall.
And you probably moved him.
For one QB?
I definitely moved him up. For one QB?
In one QB. Overall number 1, 2, 3, 16.
Seven. What do you have at running back then?
Running back. And I think it's fine. I think he belongs with Cam Akers and Travis Etienne. I think that's like the
so you got – yeah, we talked about Etienne yesterday. So you guys have Etienne – well, maybe you have these – we have Gibson 5, Akers 6, and Etienne down 11.
We have Akers – well, Trash Man has Akers. Akers at – Akers to Antonio Gibson is between running back 9 and 12.
Okay.
I think we need to bump up all
this. I mean, Akers
You saw what Akers, you saw what Akers was doing.
But here's the thing. I saw what Akers didn't do in the Super Bowl.
Here's the thing about Trashman. He's still in love with Nick Chubb being above either of those guys.
Really?
And to me, I don't understand. Maybe you could explain that here. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, we have him at 17. That's like
– I mean, Nick Chubb is still – is he 26?
26.1.
Yeah. Yeah, Chris, you're just talking about how Christian McCaffrey's 26.
And Nick Chubb is one of the best pure runners that we've seen ever.
Absolutely. And he gets the touches.
3 months there.
And he gets the touches, even with Kareem Hunt there.
Yeah, but he's not going to get the receiving work of Antonio.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't have a guy like that and stop.
That's an adjustment I think we need to make.
And he doesn't have the injury prowess that Antonio Gibson does.
Well, Antonio Gibson, how injury prone is he? He played.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You were worried all week, but he played.
He fractured his chin.
Worried all week, but he played.
We got injuries. And
he was fine.
He got concussion, MCL sprain, calf strain, rib injury. Like,
he's bad.
Those are not.
Come on, Trash.
Three games. Right.
We're talking.
Considering how much he touches the ball, that is much.
Okay. So anyway, as far as I asked Martin Mayhew about J.D. McKissic. He's a free agent. He was last making. I thought Cody on your great article, the other player profile that I've been using during these availabilities when I'm talking to these GMs about these free. I think he was making 1.625 million last year. It doesn't seem like Mayhew's going to have that kind of money this year, especially with what they've said that they're going to be canvassing the league.
They want to bring back Cam Sims,
and they're meeting this week with Terry McLaurin's agency in Indy about giving him the extension. So like, there's some things that they got to pay for. I can't believe that Logan Thomas deal. I looked at that today. I mean, they're giving Logan Thomas $8 million a year, and they're paying him for the next two. So there's some stuff going on there, but they basically said, look, with J.D. McKissic, we want a bag of stuff. We understand if coming up to the 16th, if there's another team that really wants him, we can't say like, hey, wait around for us. Like we can't guarantee him a spot.
And he's out the door. That opens the door for Curtis Samuel if he can stay healthy.
Yeah.
So that's one other thing you need to think ahead about.
Here's the other thing. You might think about the Washington Commanders wide receiver core and believe that maybe, you know, if you're doing your mock drafts thing, they might send a wide receiver there. That is not going to happen. Martin Mayhew says that they are very happy with their guys, and they are expecting a big second year out of Dyami Brown, which I'm not sure that I believe, because why would they throw so many balls to DeAndre Carter last year whenever he was healthy? Or who was number one? Was that DeAndre Carter?
DeAndre Carter was – at the end of the year, he was getting like 9-10 targets a game, which made no sense.
Well, I think it's just Taylor Heineke. And here's the thing. I didn't hear a single question about Heineke today.
I did.
So it was all
– Well, really? I asked about a quarterback.
Well,
Mayhew said, let me first say that I love Taylor Heineke.
Rivera said with Josina Anderson after we had already left, they did a one-on-one sit-down, and Rivera said that they want to go for a veteran. So I don't think they're going to be drafting a quarterback.
Well, that sounds like that. I mean, but you remember this time of year, all you're going to hear is lies, lies, lies. But not from your boys here at Roto Underworld and your boys here at Roster Watch. All right, so let's go on to Eagles GM Howie Roseman.
Yep.
Trash Man, this was something from you. I did not even go listen to Howie because I'm so tired. Mm-hmm. Speaking of liars, I'm tired of listening to this liar every single year. Yeah. Pee on my leg and tell me it's raining about idiots like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside going to make a big step in year two. I'm done. I'm boycotting him. But what did he tell you about wide receivers? Because you asked about wide receivers other than Devontae Smith.
Yeah, I asked him, you know,
what he said.
Back to make a step forward outside of Devontae Smith. He said, when you look at Quez Watkins, and I was like, Quez Watkins? Well, he said, I think he said he had a heck of a year, and then he moved to a position that he, you know, didn't play in college. So he had to learn. So he had to learn that. He said he was extremely talented, hardworking.
Did you have to push him to bring up Jalen Reagor? Or did he bring?
He did not talk about Jalen.
He didn't?
No.
I heard later when I walked up on there, somebody asked him about Jalen Reagor specifically, and he said, "We just need Jalen to do what we drafted Jalen to do."
Yeah. Oh no, I was talking about the quarterback.
What?
Jalen Hurts.
Oh, Jalen Hurts. Okay, no. Reagor, the wide receiver from TCU. Yeah.
No, Hurts is who I'm talking about. That's who he said he needs to do things with. That was in context with Quez.
Oh, I thought it was Reagor.
Because I was talking about the receiver core, and he says he brought up Quez, and he's like, in addition to like Jalen needs to be a better quarterback, basically.
Oh, okay. Whenever you send me the transcript for your quote, I thought you, since you'd asked about the wide receivers.
Yeah, it seemed like it was kind of a non sequitur in a way, but it was related
to
the wide receivers.
You asked about wide receivers not named Devontae Smith, and Jalen Rager's name didn't even come up?
No.
So it's Watkins, baby.
Quez. Okay.
Watkins, baby.
Finally, let's finish. Do you have anything else besides Seattle? Because trash name,
yeah, I caught
a couple of Seattle things.
I caught a Miles Sanders quote, and basically it was just like, how he said the best is yet to come to Miles Sanders, and because they said
he's such a liar.
That's what he said. So we got that for a quote. You know, next year when he gives him 12 receptions and Jordan Howard has 35 carries in a game, then we can come back and liar.
Pete Carroll on Rashad Penny, who they Cody made. Could you look this up and see? But did they decline to pick up the 5th-year option on Rashad Penny before he went absolutely bananas and ended up being a dude who you would have absolutely needed to pick up the 5th-year option on after you took him in the first round of the draft?
May 3rd, 2021, the Seattle Seahawks declined.
Okay, so they declined to pick up the
5th-year option. I would have declined him then, too.
Trashman asked about Rashad Penny. He said, Pete Carroll said it was so obvious when he was fully recovered. Did he really like a finely tuned Ferrari?
Yes.
He talked about a finely tuned machine, like a Ferrari. His explosiveness was so obvious.
He was super psyched about it. As old as Pete Carroll is, he's the most animated, like, go-getting, like, coach of all of them.
We want to get him back.
He's on the autograph row, and he's just, like, signing it.
He's like, oh, we got some USC Trojan shit. Let's go.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
Okay.
Chill out. Dude's got a motor.
Chill out. So we got one more guy to talk about. But before we get out of here, Just remind you, follow Cody on Twitter at Carpentier NFL. You can find Trashman and I at RosterWatch. Of course, Cody's content over at playerprofiler.com. You can find us at rosterwatch.com. We're planning to have this stream tomorrow unless we picked out of the second session of quarterback wide receiver drills. Trashman, I'm going to ask you who this quote is about. Okay? I'm going to ask you who this quote is about, and then you're going to tell the audience, and then Cody's going to get the hell out of here, okay? Here's the quote from a certain NFC West coach. I'm counting on blank to be a big part of what we're doing. We had every intention of that going in. He showed us enough in minicamp when he first got started, but then he got banged up. He never really caught up. He's explosive. He's smart. He's tough. He's going to be involved in the kicking game. I think he'll be a significant part of the offense and that we can do a whole lot of stuff with him. The player that Pete Carroll was talking about,
my man, D. Eskridge.